Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome again into the house of the Lord. We had a wonderful and amazing service yesterday morning, and we're just going to continue on to study God's Word. It's His Word that gives life and health to our bones and blesses us in so many ways. The Word is life-giving. We're going to continue on with the patriarchs, and tonight we're going to be studying the story of Leah and Rachel and Jacob and a dysfunctional family, and that's every family in some manner of speaking. But I want to begin by saying that in the case of the girl Leah we're going to be talking about tonight, there are times in all of our lives when we're going to feel like we've been uninvited, overlooked, or maybe we're second, maybe we're not quite measure up to someone else. There's always going to be someone ahead of us and someone coming behind us. But every one of us are created in God's image, and God has a plan for each of us, and God loves us even when the world does not, even when they overlook us. I want to begin by telling you a story, and just by telling you that God has not forgotten you. I have a neighbor, a friend of mine, Susan. She comes to our Bible study on Monday nights often, and you can congratulate her next week. And Susan has, in the past, she had a terrible, terrible car accident. She has multiple injuries that are ongoing, facing many, many surgeries, and she just struggles through life. A lot of times she started coming with us on Mondays, and she has a little side business. It's called Rain Beauty, and Sandra and I bought some things, and in this business, she entered a contest with just hundreds and hundreds of people all over the United States. And she had to go online for 365 days a year, and this past year, and they just had a big convention. And a lot of people did that. They went online for an hour for 365 days a year. And she did a lot of work, and she made some sales. And the person who won was going to get a whole bunch of money. I don't know how much, but it's a lot, and they were going to get a big trophy and just everything. And she went to convention, and she won. She's first place, and she's a believer, and she's been praying, and we've all been praying. But this is what I told her. I said, Susan, she was so shocked that she had won, that she was chosen, that she had won. And I said, Susan, you're chosen by God. You are chosen by God. God knew that you're a winner long ago. And she got this huge trophy, and she won some other awards too while she was there. And I said, God's sending you a message. He has not forgotten you, and you have not been overlooked. Even when others do, He doesn't. He sees you. And we're going to be talking about that tonight. And I say that to every one of us, that, you know, keep faithful, because your day will come. And everybody will see it. It was a very public thing and a very big convention, and I loved that. So we talked last week about how Jacob had to leave his family, didn't have a choice. His brother Esau wanted to kill him, and I said to you that sin separates. It can destroy relationships, sin, very easily and very quickly. And I said to you that there's no record of Rebecca, who dearly loved her son Jacob, ever got to see her son again. Most commentators will tell you she did not. There is no record. And Rebecca was the one who actually came up with that horrible plan to steal Esau's birthright. And Jacob left home, and he was about halfway between Beersheba, where their family home was, that he left, and Haran, the place he was going to go to, specifically the family of Rebecca. And they told him, Isaac and Rebecca, we want you to go to Rebecca's family to get a wife. That's why he was going there. He was going there with a purpose. I'm going to get a wife from our family. So he knew why he was going there. And and he specifically said in Genesis, take you a wife from there, that place, of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. Laban is a horrible person. He's the original narcissist. He's only interested in Laban. He's interested in one person, the guy in the mirror. He's not interested in his daughters. And I'm going to prove that out to you, how terribly wrong he did his two daughters and how terribly wrong he did his nephew, his entire family. Laban is definitely a man of questionable character, and Jacob's about to meet his match. But ironically, through Laban, Jacob's going to learn some very valuable life lessons that we all need to learn. And Jacob especially needed to learn those. He's going to actually find out what it feels like to be deceived. So on the way to Haran, Jacob has a dream about a ladder, and the ladder represents Christ, the only way to heaven, between heaven. And the angels are going up and down the ladder. God's at the top of the ladder. And there was no name of that place. The Bible calls it a certain place, but it was Jacob who gave it a name. He said, this is the house of God, because he encountered God. Any place can be God's house when we're with God. He's here. And the Bethel, he named it Bethel, which means house of God, house of bread and praise. But Jacob, even though he's a believer, he comes from this family, Isaac's family, patriarch, he needs a lot of work on his character. Now, there's two different things. God, there's 9 gifts of the Spirit, and there's 9 fruits of the Spirit. Which would God rather have you have to minister? The gifts of the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit? The fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit have to precede the gifts, or the gifts become useless. Absolutely useless. Suppose you had the gift of prophecy, but you also had an anger problem. So you go up to someone and say, the Lord says, stop sinning right now, you idiot. You have a character problem. You have no fruit. You don't have no kindness, love, joy, peace, but you still have a gift. But nobody can receive that. If I went up to Millie and I said, God tells you to stop doing such and such, right away Millie's got a wall up. She's, even if it's a word from God, she's not going to receive it, because I become a false prophet because I live a false life. I don't have fruit in my life. And so never hurt anybody on purpose, okay? We do it inadvertently. We don't mean to, but, you know, so we need the fruit of the Spirit. And here's Jacob. He had an encounter with God. God encounters us, and he's working on us. However, God had a lot of work left to do on Jacob before he could use him. And when I talk about prophets, I can tell you that Pastor Bill, one time, my brother-in-law, had a prophet in his church that got so angry because people weren't responding to his prophecies that the prophet said, you people are just jerks, and walked out the door. Walked out the door in the middle of the service. And Pastor Bill had to continue. I kid you not. I kid you not. So he needed some work on his character. He had a temper. And so that's Jacob, basically. And so Jacob has this encounter with God. And I shared this with you last week, that in Genesis 28, he makes a promise to God. But he says, if God will be with me, if God will give me clothes, if God will bring me back to my father's house, if, then you will be my God. And that's not how we deal with God. We don't tell God, I'm making demands on you, God. No, I serve God if God does nothing for me that I want him to do. I serve him, and we can't give God the demands. He instead will give us commands that we are to obey. And so Jacob isn't willing yet to fully surrender to God. He doesn't do that until 20-plus years later, when he heads towards home and has yet another encounter where he wrestles with God. I want to say this. Our problem with people and our problems in life, ultimately, they're not a problem with people. They're a struggle with God. We have to get it right with God. And once Jacob struggled with God, let me share something with you. Once he struggled with God and wrestled with God, then he was able to meet the brother that he had hurt years ago. You will be able to reconcile with the brother when you get things right with God. When you struggle through with God. And so that's the first lesson that we learn tonight, that our struggle is with God, and when we reconcile with him, then we can meet others and help them. And so I liked this, that Jacob was into this. And we have to take God's promises are true. We take him at his word. God is going to do what he says he's going to do. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit more about Jacob meeting Rachel and what took place there. We saw last week that he met her at the well. There was a lot of meeting at wells going on there. That was kind of the town place. We're drawing water. We're, you know, people must have been dehydrated because they were always at the well. And he meets her. You know, sometimes we're spiritually dehydrated, aren't we? And we need to be at the well. Jesus is the living water, the well. And so he knows that she's his cousin, and he gives her a kiss, a cousin kiss, and he's moved to tears. This is the first family he's seeing, you know, blah, 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 I left my family. There was trouble at home, and now I'm coming here. And I don't think they even knew he was coming. I mean, in those days, you know, it's not like you send a text, you call somebody, we're on our way. No, you just go, and they're family, and they receive you. So Jacob stays with Laban, Uncle Laban, for a period of a month, okay? After that time, after the period of a month goes by, it's kind of clear to this family that Jacob isn't really going back home right away. And so Uncle Laban, being Uncle Laban, comes up with a plan. But I don't want to call it a plan. I want to call it a plot. He comes up with a plot. Laban is very cunning, and he is very deceitful, and he's been at it for a lot of years. And he tells Jacob, this is what he tells Jacob. He is a smooth operator. He says this. He says, it is just not right, Jacob. It's just not right for you to be working for us here just because we're family for free. It's not right. It's just not done. I got to pay you something. So that tells me Jacob's been working for them for free for a month. Okay. We can't let you do this. So, you know, even though you're family, so it sounds so wonderful. You know, yeah, Uncle Laban, you're right. I shouldn't be working here for free. So instead of telling Jacob what his wages are, this is also very cunning, by the way. This is very cunning. He tells him, he says to him, what do you want your wages to be? How much should we pay you? By the way, many employers do this today with great success because people often feel like, I shouldn't say I want that much. I really shouldn't. I know it's worth more, but I might not get hired. So he's asking him, what do you think? So Jacob said, this, by the way, puts Laban really in the driver's seat. So Jacob said, let's read it to you. Genesis 29, 16 to 19. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had tender eyes, and Rachel was beautiful in form and well-favored. Rachel was stunning. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, well, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man, whatever. So go ahead and stay with me. That can be your wages. Now, it's quite interesting if you think about it. Let me just slow down and help you a minute. I go to Pastor Ken and I say, how much should I pay you, Pastor Ken? You've been helping me do so much work around here. What should I pay you? And he says, how about if you give me Sandra? I'll take Sandra. Is there anything wrong with what was just said? That's what's happening here. Since when do we get a person instead of a paycheck? These are two separate conversations. We are not talking about people. We were talking about wages, not giving people. But Jacob was in love, and Laban knew that by now. He'd been there a month. It was kind of a love at first sight thing. Now, I want to tell you something about studies. I was studying some things today. It was very interesting. There are multiple studies that say you marry the person in front of you. Now, this is a case, if you're single, for going to church. You marry the person in front of you at work, wherever they're at. It doesn't matter. And by the way, it doesn't matter what they look like. You get accustomed and familiar, and people are created to be loved, and you develop an affection for people. And that's a study. So Jacob had seen Rachel first. He had not even met Leah at the time. So he already, you know, they had had a conversation, a little kiss here, and it was already a done deal. And so But we don't get people instead of a paycheck. That's the first problem we have. The wages should have been a separate conversation or deal from the I would like to marry your daughter conversation. Those should be two different conversations. So we see that there are only two daughters to choose from here. And the Bible tells us that Leah is tender-eyed. Now, there are multiple commentaries that will tell you that this means that she was ugly, that she was tender-eyed. That is completely erroneous and it is completely incorrect. What it means is that she had lovely eyes, in fact. It meant Leah had beautiful eyes, but Rachel, there's a but there, Rachel was beautiful in form and well-favored. She was absolutely stunning. This is like saying, well, what is Leah like and what is Rachel like? Well, Leah, I'm going to describe Leah to you. She won first place in the science fair. She has beautiful hands. She's got great eyes. She's got a great sense of humor. You would love Leah. She's just a barrel of laughs. I mean, Leah's got a great personality. But Rachel, Rachel's head of the cheerleading squad. And she's homecoming queen again this year. Yeah, you heard right. It's Rachel again. That's the difference. That's the difference. There's always somebody better, prettier, more talented, more gifted. And those are things, real life problems. But in God's eyes, all of us are Rachel. All of us are beautiful because we're created in His image and He is beautiful. But having said that, I want to tell you about being in the physical fallen world here on earth. Here on earth, in the physical fallen world, let me tell you something. Let me tell you why God really loved Leah and why our Jesus understood her hurt and her pain. The Bible says that Jesus, get this, was nothing to look at. He was not handsome. He was not anybody you would ever look at and go, oh, he's a king. He's a savior of the world. The Bible says the exact opposite of appearance. He became human. We are human. That's the difference. Wait till we get our glorified bodies. Let me tell you, things are going to be different. But Rachel was beautiful, and she was the baby of the family. The Bible also says she was well-favored, too. So she's, you know, she's the youngest, she's the prettiest, she's just well-loved. So Jacob agrees to work the 7 years for Rachel, and it appears that him and Laban have a deal. Now, in them days, a verbal contract was a binding contract. But Laban had some people on his side, and it wasn't going to be that way. He said it's better that we would give her to. So he serves the 7 years, and they just went by really, really fast. He just loved Rachel so much and thought about Rachel all the time. Rachel, Rachel, Rachel. And Jacob said to Laban at the end of the 7 years, he said, give me my wife. She's already his wife in his heart, okay? Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in to her. And he had kept his end of the agreement. So Jacob's learning a little bit about integrity. He's not trying to deceive anybody anymore. He's kept his end of the agreement. And so Laban does something interesting. And by the way, I'm no genius, but the way this is worded lends itself, and other commentators do support me in this, that there were some other men that knew this was all going on, that Laban had a little band of brothers there. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place, and he made a big feast. They knew what was going on. And it came to pass in the evening, after the reception, so to speak, he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave to his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid, bridesmaid, whatever you want to call it. And it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah and the science project girl, the girl with the kind of cute eyes. What is this, he confronts Laban, that you have done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel, wherefore you have deceived me? I have questions. I have questions. How drunk do you have to be at your reception to not know who you go home with from your wedding reception? I have lots of questions. Still questions about Jacob, still questions about this whole group. However, I do want to say something. Do you think, I'm asking you a question. Do you think, any of you, at any point in this whole wedding thing and after this happened, that Jacob would have, a light would have went on for him, and he would have remembered how he went into Isaac and covered his skin, and he pretended that he was his brother, Esau, so that his father would be tricked because he couldn't see in the cover of night and in the blindness that he had? I know I thought about it. Surely at some point Jacob thought, I did the same thing. I made the switch. I did the same thing. So Laban, being who he is, again, he tells Jacob, because Jacob was furious. I didn't pull that scripture out, but somewhere it says he was just furious. And Laban tells Jacob that it's just not our custom to give the younger before the older. If it wasn't your custom, you did not disclose. You were the worst car dealer that I've ever met because you did not disclose the terms of the contract clearly. And if you withhold necessary information, you are a deceiver, a cheat, and a liar. And he was. And so he tells him it's not our custom to give the younger before the older, which sounds good on paper, but that simply was not the deal. And there was nothing. It's like buying a bad car. There was now nothing that Jacob could do about this at all because he still wants Rachel. So Laban did not disclose the custom and the details and the terms of the contract. So Laban begins to try to appease Jacob because he has another plan, which I will call another plot. Part B of the plot. Part A was to get him to work seven. See, Laban, like I said, is the original narcissist. He's not interested in these girls at all. These are his daughter's lives he's playing with. Laban is interested in, you're going to work for me 7 years, and now I can get another 7 years out of you. Laban is interested in Laban and how he can get ahead in life. It will eventually backfire, and you'll see that in later lessons. But he didn't disclose, so Laban appeases him by saying, I have another plot. You just stay with Leah for a week. Can you live with her for 7 days? Can you hang out with Leah for 7 days? You'll make her feel a little good about herself. And then I'm going to give you Rachel also. However, now I'm giving you the terms of the contract. You will serve me another 7 years. You can have her. You can even have her now. But you will serve me another 7 years. He took 14 years of his life, and all during those first 7 years, I want to say it like this, he was living a lie, Jacob, and he didn't even know it. He was being deceived every day, and he did not even know it. You know, isn't that interesting? And verse 31 says, and when the Lord, the Bible tells us that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. Not that he didn't love her, but that he loved her more. One of the terms used here in verse 31, I'm going to read it for you. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. The word hate, again, I present to you like last week, it does not mean the English word what we talk about hate. It means no affection or no interest in this case, that she was dishonored, disrespected. He had no affection for her. He was not interested in her. It doesn't mean I hate you, I'm going to kill you. But it's still a bad, bad, bad situation because she's his wife. And by the way, God called Leah Jacob's wife and never one time called Rachel his wife. Why would that be? Because no matter how it came to pass, she was his wife. No matter what the situation and how you hook up, if you got married, that's your wife. And although there were multiple wives in the Bible, this was given that we are told of multiple marriages and wives in the Bible. That is given to us not for revelation. That is given to us for information as to what happened. It does not mean that God ever one time condoned such a thing. And to this very day, God doesn't condone anything like that. And to this very day, if you take an extra wife or a side chick or whatever the case may be, an extra husband, it's not going to go well with you. It's going to go just as happy as this story is. And so God saw that Leah was not wanted. She was not respected. There was no Jacob had no affection for her because his affection all went to Rachel, and God saw her pain. Can you imagine how painful that is? Can you imagine? I'm going to say it like this. Can you imagine how humiliating it is for Leah to know, you expected to be married to my sister, and here I am. And of course you don't love me. And here's another thing that you don't think about when studying this. What do you think about? She had no other options at that point. Her father had given her to this guy. It's not like she could go, you know what? I'm going to leave you, Jacob. Since you don't love me in the first place, I'm going to find somebody else. That wasn't done either. So you talk about somebody who was hurt, humiliated, in pain, just suffering in every way. But Jesus knew what that kind of rejection was like. And so God opened her womb, and she began to name her children. And this is so cool. This is cool, cool, cool. I'm going to tell you, she named her children as God was drawing her close to himself. Her first child was named Reuben, which means God sees me. God sees me. God sees what I'm going through. I don't need to see God. People say, I wish I could have a vision and see God. I don't need to see God. I am perfectly happy that he can see me. The second child was named Simeon. This means God heard. I don't need the voice of an angel to come whisper in my ear, walk over to the left side of the room. I need to know that God hears me when I pray. That's what she named. God heard me. The third child was named Levi, which means maybe my husband will love me. I wish my husband would love me. I desire for my husband to love me. She's naming her children. The next one, there's something that happens. She makes a complete turn. She names her child, her son, Judah, which means I will now praise the Lord. After all of this pain and all this suffering, just knowing that God sees me, he heard me, maybe someday my husband will love me, and I want to say something about that. Jacob never really came to that place where he loved her. He did respect her. We don't know what, it might have been a different kind of love. But I want to tell you, when she said, maybe my husband will love me, she spoke words of prophecy, because if your husband is Jesus, he will absolutely love you. Jesus is called our husband. It's the name of Jesus. And the next one was named Judah. I will praise the Lord. Now, through Judah, not through any of Rachel's children, through Judah, Jesus Christ comes. Our Redeemer, our husband who loves us, who favors us, who has affection for us, who has not disrespected us. He is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and Judah was the child of Leah, not Rachel. So she is famous in history. She goes down in biblical history as being honored and respected. The next two children were Issachar and Zebulun, and they mean reward and honor. Leah realizes that I have been rewarded by God. God honors me, and I'm going to praise the Lord. Her whole heart changes. Her whole attitude changes, even in a bad situation, because it's not the situation. It's how we respond to the situation. Now, Laban was, let me say a couple things here. First of all, I'm going to give you the whole scenario in a nutshell. Jacob loved Rachel. Rachel didn't love Jacob. You don't see that at all. She's willing to give, you know, you go, I'll take the mandrakes, you just go, you know, go, go, go. And Leah loved Jacob. Leah loved Jacob. Jacob was missing out. He really was, because Rachel did not love him. She loved something else. Do you know what it was? Idols. Idols. She loved other gods. She loved idols. She wasn't the one who fell in love with Jacob. See, we hear that story and we think, what a kind of beautiful love story. They fell in love. Nowhere does it say they fell in love. It says that he loved her. Her father gave these girls to Jacob. He changed Jacob's wages 10 times. He was a thief. He was a liar, this Laban. But he could not stop God from blessing Jacob. God was changing Jacob's character in this situation. He was trying to get Jacob's attention. And the time came. Now, here's the situation. Jacob treated his daughters like property. People are not property. They are not payment for services. And we're created in God's image. We see that Jacob, there came a time when he needed to separate from Laban. And thank goodness, and he knew that Laban hated him, that he had deceived him, that he had used him for all of those years, and yet he stayed faithful. But here is what Rachel and Leah said, and we're getting ready to wind down a little bit here in a few minutes, so our praise team can get ready. Here's what Rachel and Leah said to Jacob. And this is their conversation with Jacob. They went out in a field. They had to have a conversation away from Laban. And they said, these are the girls. Are we not counted of him, our father Laban, as strangers? We're no more than strangers to him. He doesn't love us. For he has sold us. And that he did. He sold them. And quite devoured all of our money. He sold them as property, and they got nothing out of it. He didn't just steal from Jacob. Laban stole from them too. And 16 says, here, them speaking, for all of the riches which God has taken from our father that was ours and our children's now, then you do whatever God has said for you to do. In other words, they're telling Jacob, go ahead, we'll leave with you because there's nothing here for us either. Our father stole our inheritance. He took, and Laban was all about Laban. And then the Bible says, then Jacob rose up, and again, this word is resurrection. He rose up. You know, he was probably afraid to even leave Laban because Laban had so really abused all of them. He rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels. We're going to talk about what happened after that next week. All of these people had been used by Laban, but God had developed their character and they were ready to leave Laban. And I think that is such a wonderful, wonderful story of redemption too, that God's going to get them out of this situation. It's not going to be forever. Maybe somebody in your life is mistreating you. They haven't done you right. They've done you wrong. But God sees and God hears. Go ahead and praise the Lord. He knows all about it. He knows how to reward you and give you honor, doesn't he? And Leah discovered that. And nobody in the world may look upon you and think, you know, wow, there's something else. But I can tell you that God does. I can tell you that he loves you with an everlasting love. He does.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.